Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it walks, it talks, it crawls on its belly like a reptile. Welcome to the second episode of the RBD. Around the room, my name's Josh. I like archery, long walks on the beach, and sometimes I take my boat for a walk in the woods. Bridget?
There's Bridget. There's Dalton.
So there's Bridget. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Dalton around the table tonight. On to you, Rep.
Well, I hosted the first show. And Maddie Boy. Salute.
Salute. Salute. As part of tradition, we're going to start the first episode with some whiskey.
Well, this podcast could have been 55 minutes. Oh, Bridget's already.
Bridget's drinking.
Sipping some solid Stanley ice water over there.
You hold that Stanley up with your bow hand. Does that help? Does that help with like your draw or your drills?
Yeah, you tie one of them archery bands to it and she can hold that thing up. It's probably weighs 14 pounds.
Like the Stanley shooter.
Good lord, that is. Trying to buy a date. Did you see the ice molds for them things that go from the bottom all the way up to the top and the side?
Her Amazon account, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
so she probably already knows what's coming.
I had to drop, I actually had to drop the dime on the pillow today because she had some other stuff that was for the bath last night. And I was like, well, there's supposed to be one more thing. It's not going to be here quite yet. So.
Oh, you mean this off my account?
Man, boy, I wish I had one of these.
Oh, that's exactly how it went down this night.
Makes you feel any better. Shana's last gift just arrived today. And she was like, man, this thing's the greatest thing ever. I was like, yeah, I know you wanted this.
Did you give her the AirPods?
I got her AirPods and I got her sleep mask.
She told me she was shaking AirPods, all her...
built into them.
Oh, she told me she was shaking all her presents.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to figure out what it was.
To find AirPods?
No,
trying to see what it was. She wanted AirPods. No, so then when she's on the phone with Dalton, she can like walk around and not have her
AirPods
phone.
Was the thing she wanted?
Yeah, yeah. AirPods are a very hot commodity.
Well, as you can see, folks, we get taken down rabbit
trails
pretty fast.
So welcome to the RBD.
It's after Christmas, almost New Year's. Hopefully the first episode went well and you guys all enjoyed that.
Thanks for reeling us back in, big boy.
Yeah, no problem.
So, yeah, we wanted to talk maybe
about Mr. Focused.
A little bit about the classic coming up. Lancaster is in 3 weeks-ish, 4 weeks. I don't think any of us are going to be doing any of the prep rounds before there, other than here, probably, right? I don't think.
Yeah, you got what? You got two of them going on, the Invitational and the other one you run on Sunday.
Yeah, but you're not. No one's going to anything else, right?
I think so.
No. I might try to actually.
There's another one. There's a couple of them in like South Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there was another one I seen pop up. I might try to make to that one, but I mean, none of our shops or any of our sponsors are running anything. I mean, they've got leagues ripping. The only body that's really doing anything is I got that shoot the 19th or the 18th and 19th here. Yeah. Matt is shooting and you were shooting.
Yep, I'll be shooting it.
So,
my buddy Steve, he's going to be shooting it as
Steve
well.
Will be shooting.
And then obviously a lot of other local boat archers that you guys all know.
Yep.
Local top talent.
Yeah,
some not so locals.
You've been preparing for Lancaster.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the whole bow set up. You know, I'm running the bow tech right now, but there's a lot of weeks to come.
There's room for change.
Yeah, well, I mean, Matt's got a couple of bows changed in the last week and a half.
I've got one.
Out of all the people here that should be shooting Lancaster, it should be Matt, and he's the only one that's not going.
Registered.
And he's not even registered to go.
Matt, what can we do to get you registered?
We would love.
I got too much stuff going on outside of archery right now.
Yeah. What if I kidnapped you and took you down?
Is the last time you shot when you shot when you came up? No, you shot one.
No,
other.
I shot one before that.
I mean, the boat's been
no.
Rise,
well, you so. Shot when you come up from West Virginia, and then you shot one more year after that when you shot with Steve, right?
Yes, the year that me and Steve both missed our target.
Yeah.
Shot the 7, and I shot somebody else's target. And yeah. Robin hooded their arrow while it was in the 11.
I was going to say, so Josh and Bridget are going to come down and watch.
I don't know if I'm going to. I'm
going
to try to go.
You're going
to
try.
Okay. Yeah, I think Dolan and I are going to come down and support the team.
We might try to weekend trip it.
You can't make it up?
I don't know.
Made me hold a secret for like 3 months that you were going to shoot Lancaster, and now you're not going to shoot it?
You saw me shoot it.
She's definitely not going to shoot it. She barely hit a blueberry.
Did I see her shoot
it? I hit the 10 ring.
Did I see her?
I think it was an X.
Didn't call your target.
It was in the wrong lane.
Look, going over to a blank cardboard, circling it, and marking an X on it.
No,
with your arrow in the middle of it, it's not shooting an X.
I went over to the target and shot an X.
for the record, she was in lane 5 and hit lane 7, so, you know, she can that's say she hit an axe,
but,
you know.
I moved over to lane 7 and shot it from lane 7.
Are you not coming because you don't think you're going to be prepared by that, or just because you don't have the time to shoot by that?
Well, I don't know how I'll get there.
Oh, you're not going to have a car when you get back
down.
We're
just going to be
the windshield. Well, that's just
that's true.
We're not going to have all the fancy things we want later on in life.
She's
going
to buy us a beach house in 9 years when she's done with dental school.
Now, you on the other hand, if you're coming down to support us, you have no excuse not to shoot.
I have a total excuse not to shoot. I'm not that good.
Let me tell you.
I show up, I'm security and support.
Well,
if you want to talk about not being good, let's talk about your
Why is he going? Because he wants to hang out.
Well, no, hang on. Let's get into this whole, what is Josh Wolf going to do come the spring here?
I told you, I have little goals, okay?
I want to
build
this.
The fastest bow.
Exactly. Let's get into that.
Okay, so I got the fastest bow, and this goal number 2 is I'm going to build a rig that'll put a hole through the steel buck.
So let's get into that. How are you going to put a hole through the steel buck, and how are you going to build the fastest buck?
All right, so we got a PSE Shootdown Pro, put 80-pound limbs on it, so we're on 84 pounds right now.
All
right. It's shooting, what were those ultras running, 510 grains or 540
grains? Well, you were running Rob's gold tip pierces.
You shot them, and they blew up on impact. And,
well, the second time. They survived one shot.
They were running 356 feet.
Yeah, something
like 356 feet per second.
If you put one of those, what do you want to run them? Smith Brothers points or something?
Yeah.
Were they Smiths or they're tool steel? Hard to
if you shoot one of those out of like a triple X.
I don't think they are Smith Brothers.
I don't remember.
I think if you shoot a Smith Brothers point out of a triple X. Or a top hat.
I got the top hats to go on those ultras because they got inside hats.
I can't imagine you're gonna go through that buck.
I mean,
then if I don't go for the next rig,
do we have it here?
Yeah, we have it here. I mean, there is one deer or deer that is almost see through. I mean, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Chad Sackett's with the Smith Brothers point.
And that's just out of his plain game bow.
Right, it's out of a 60-pound, you know.
Maybe that should be the
just a standard bow.
Maybe that should be the hook for this year. We should do a giveaway for whomever may completely pierce the steel buck. We'll put something behind the steel buck and be like, if you can hit this.
Well, if you can see daylight through your hole,
yeah,
I think that's worth it. I mean, with that being said, there's going
to
be
think you can poke a hole through it, but it's not going to go very far.
Oh, I think it'll still destroy the arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because all that kinetic energy's got to go somewhere. Yeah.
I think if your arrow sticks in the buck, that's saying something.
Is that buck like quarter inch, do you think? 3/8?
3/16?
3/16 probably. Maybe a quarter? Maybe. Probably being generous.
Man, I'd find that hard to believe. I mean, I don't know, maybe. What did we put that buck at, 25 yards?
22 yards. You want to talk about what we're going to do this year?
Well, what we're going to do this year with that buck, this is the plan this year for that buck. I think that we'd like to do a running tournament every leg with that buck where we're going to have kind of like a last man standing type of situation where you're going to hold that buck at a distance, and then that's the distance that's got to be beat at every leg. So if I come down and put an arrow through that hole at 56 yards at the first leg, then you have to, if you want to compete for whatever prize you're going to give away, that's the second leg, it starts at 56 yards, right? So that's basically what we're going to run. That's basically how we're going to run it. I find that.
Oh, it sounds like fun.
I don't know. There was some interest last year. I know. I mean, Jasper and I talked about it for a while, and he was like, I think I can do it from 60 yards, right? Like, forget about this 22 yards. Like, I'll put it out.
It would be interesting to see where the yardage gets set at the first leg and then see if anybody would take that yardage at the second leg and continue it. Because it will do no good if Jasper comes down the first leg and donuts that thing at 70. I don't know if we're going to get too many people at the second leg wagering that they could do it at 71.
Well, I think
I would probably try
we got to lay it out what the prize is, right? I mean, this isn't for $20.
Well, no, that's probably a thing too.
And this might be for who knows what.
That'll have to be determined based on the sponsors that we still acquire. You know,
what's your arrow worth versus the price?
Weren't here for the real podcast, which actually started 45 minutes ago, then it was a race because it was just a bunch of background noise. Bridget did maim Matt with one of my child's markers.
At a high velocity.
At a high, very high velocity. Very. Should put that through the product.
Basically, cleft palate him and left him bleeding, blood trail out the building.
Yep.
The mustache, it may never be the same again.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to take a couple months. It's permanently stained.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. It's definitely blood stained.
Below his right nostril, he looks Irish. The rest of him said Texas.
This is one of the only times I've seen Bridget actually with true remorse. True sorrow in her eyes.
What do you have to say for that, Bridget?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You heard it here, folks. She's sorry.
She's sorry.
You tried to hug the poor man. Obviously, he doesn't want to be touched by his abuser.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even look at me.
So coming back full circle, so we're talking about a little bit of Lancaster prep here. So Matt and Josh are up in the air, obviously. But
Matt is not up in the air.
All right, so Matt's clearly out. Josh is up in the air, obviously. I'm still preparing, and Rob is clearly going to attend. So, Rob, what do you got going on, you know, the next couple of weeks preparing for Lancaster?
Oh, that's it. Just morning treatment Mosier. Out here every morning at 4 o'clock trying to shoot a game or two. And
what are you going to be
rocking a new bow this year, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to be rocking this year?
I actually do have a new bow. I got a new Dominator X40. I do enjoy it. I like it a lot better than the Dominator. I was running for 3D. The M2 cam doesn't seem to agree with my shoulder and elbow as much, although I do like the speed out of it.
Because you're old?
Well, because I am old. And I have weak, frail appendages.
Says the guy that switched the bow because he has shoulder pain.
Take my good arm.
Take my good hand. Yeah, the SC2 cam is a lot better for me. And I can't get the speed out of it, so I'll be running that other bow for IBO for sure. But I do have a new bow for Lancaster this year. It'll probably be the first time I've had a new bow down there in probably since 2019, probably. So it's been a minute.
What's the likelihood of getting you into a new sight and scope?
Never. That scope is just fine. I think that's what Bridget was.
You choose to use that.
You need to get a new one.
You feel like you're doing great things with a piece of history.
Look at that
proved
thing.
It. Yeah, but it's
rusty and crusty.
It's rusty and crusty, but all it needs to do is hold a black sticker on a.
That fell off the other day.
It fell off because when I looked. Look, in my defense, when I loaded my arrow, it came through that cage and then glanced off the lens and scraped the sticker off onto the floor.
It's time. It is a sign.
How are your clicks left and right? Are they really crisp?
I don't really have clicks left and right anymore, but I just hope I don't have to move it left and right anymore.
Well, you just shot Eli's and you just... It goes up.
How do you work? Do you just take the bow and like smack it off the floor on one side to get the sight to move over at all, or what? How's it...
I just don't know. I'm playing Kentucky Windage, right? Like, so at some point, I'm like, well, it mushes over right four mushes, which is probably like 7, maybe 9 clicks, maybe 10 clicks.
Well, it's hard to tell what the click to mush conversion is.
Look, that thing, what?
Is that metric or imperial?
That bow is 32 years old, that sight. Probably.
That sight.
Yeah.
Bought it from what? Chuck
I mean, Lewis? the glass was as old as the sight, but I smashed the glass out a couple of years ago.
So that sight is older than 2/5 of this podcast right now.
Yes. Yes. I would say so. Yeah, for sure.
Very nice.
But that's what I'll be running down there. Yeah, my practice is normal. I'm trying to practice a little less than I have in the past. Normally, I'm out here 5 days a week. Probably shoot 2 games a day. This year, I'm trying to just shoot 3 games a week.
Gotcha. So in your experience, it's better to shoot, you know, weekly instead of taking a couple of weeks off.
Yes, you shouldn't be taking a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, no, I feel like if you're trying to
actually score good at Lancaster, you don't want to take a couple of weeks off.
Yeah,
that probably checks out, you know. You definitely can see the results of that.
You want to shoot the ball.
Imagine that.
I've had some of my better scores when I just go take some time off, pick the bow up, and go shoot.
Sometimes when you're gripping and ripping.
Yeah.
But if you can hold it in the center and you hammer it,
I'll tell you what,
using a button.
Oh, punch it.
They usually go in the center.
Well, Matt Bear is he's the staple child of that. I mean, I've never seen somebody that's able to take a couple weeks off and just hold it in the center and punch it and
put up big
numbers. So I will give you that.
The heartbreaking thing about Matty Boy not shooting Lancaster now is he is shooting 1,000% better, I think, than when he was attending Lancaster on a yearly basis, right? I mean, like, his He has whatever secret sauce he has found.
His math ain't mapping, huh?
He has found it now. That is what's killing me now, because I watch him shoot and be like,
why aren't you going like
Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's like a 56 every single time. Best
shot pro, but when I go outside of here, it's not that great sometimes.
I feel like that's fake news. I don't think that's true.
I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, I don't
know. I've seen you put up some good scores outside of here.
I would like right now, you are in the last three seasons. Maybe last four seasons, maybe. I mean, because it's been like a couple RBD things, but like the last 2 years, maybe I would say last year, maybe even been a down year as opposed to like 2 years ago. And then even how you started out this year, I would definitely say that you're shooting way better now than when you were ever down there in Lancaster. I mean, if you were to shoot into someone else's target or whatever shenanigans.
That can still happen at any given point.
That arrow is still an axe that you shot.
I got my bedtime reminder on my watch.
Oh, I'm sure.
You've been up since
12. Is it time to brush your teeth?
5:45.
We got to get your teeth. All right, let's get your teeth brushed to get you into bed.
I got a floss.
Hold on, you got a floss.
Yeah, might lose one.
We'll keep you one of those Crayola.
Cinderella over here turns back into a pumpkin.
Cactus? That's more like a cactus.
We'll go with a cactus to keep it, PG.
You know
what?
Oh, fine. Okay.
And here comes the bridge that we all know.
All right. That's what we're looking for.
Fine.
That's what Matt did to me. I go, are you okay? And he goes, I'm fine.
You did it with a pencil,
Hey, right probably didn't want to talk to you.
That's debatable.
We'll have to find out on podcast number 3.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Tune in for podcast number 3.
You should definitely come down to the classic because we can record Friday night after we all get done shooting.
Yeah, we'll do it in the we'll do it in the hotel room.
bring in Sarah.
I'll have Sarah if I go. Yeah,
she fits right in.
Unless he wants to come pick me up.
No, it'll be all of us.
We'll be all.
Wait, it's Kentucky. Yeah. Oh wait. Oh, that's right. You drive. I keep forgetting you're not driving down, so you cannot drive back.
Yes, I'll need. Yeah.
Oh, we need somebody to come pick you up.
Sarah got a car?
Yeah. So I was going to say.
I'll buy a bus ticket.
Oh, wait. What's Sarah's car?
The 2008
Toyota Avalon. The Cooter Scooter.
The what? That's the Cooter Scooter? Yes. Her car? Yes. Is that your other roommate's car?
No.
Oh, my God. I got things way confused then.
So why is it called that?
No. Not here.
Oh, okay.
All right, that's very top secret. What kind of information were you digging up on her down there?
No, that was because she pays for an autograph of $25. And...
Oh, that's right. She's like a celebrity down there.
Oh, we're only
barely 20 minutes in.
Because she shoots for Cumberland's, they made them like they had all the athletes.
You want s'mores?
Right. Going to the nutty bar. S'mores. No, see the side there? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You got to drink s'mores. Shout out Justin Rainer.
Justin Rainer. If you ever bring us s'mores again.
If you ever listen to this podcast, please don't ever.
Matt is the only
smart one of the entire. Oh, whoa! Hey, simmer down, Spartacus.
Wow.
Oh, God!
Shout out Tennessee Shine Company, Sports Whiskey.
Oh, God, I can't smell. And I can tell you, that's the party woman's makes me vomit. What is that stuff? Here's something we'll never put on the board. I mean, we're going to have to put it on the board. But
we have to put it on the board, but for those that aren't
familiar.
Triple X Distillery.
That's going to make me throw off.
You don't like that?
No.
We're going to derail. Bring us back in.
Yeah.
I don't know how we come back in for something.
Talk about the whiskey board, then whiskey rankings or something. I don't know.
I don't.
That's for another day.
I don't think Justin even likes that. No, Justin hated that. He bought it because he thought it might be good. It sucks. Justin, unfortunately, has been the buyer of 3 really bad bottles.
What was the other
bad bottle?
The man can sing, but he cannot buy whiskey.
I will. Yes, I agree with that. He brought us that.
So back on Lancaster, Rob, I mean, I think that we're all avoiding one very important part about this. Are you going to be staying in that special facility that you stayed in last
time? Oh, Crack House? No.
Yeah, I mean, how many hookers?
Was that last year?
That was last year when Rob and I stayed.
No,
that was
2 years
ago. Yeah, I was just saying, we stayed at the last year.
That was 2 years ago. We had stayed at a place that I had stayed at. I went back and looked at all of my past booking. Stays, and I'd say that place 4 years in a row, and then the 5th year, Crack House. Oh. Right, so
So that was
straight crack house.
When we talk about this, like, all jokes aside, there was a van out in the parking lot that was jacked up on cinder blocks, had no tires. Smoke and Al was letting us into our room. Like, you can't make this up.
What I'm trying to figure out, though,
did
gentlemen,
we stay there one night?
One night. And we both felt disgusting.
I don't understand how y'all even stayed there one night.
So I jumped in the shower, guys, and I'm trying to tell Rob, right? And I was like, hey, make sure you put the shower lining down. He's like, yeah, whatever. And, like, the shower didn't even work to the point where it was, like, spraying the sink. And water's going everywhere. And he comes out and he goes, I flooded the bathroom. I flooded the entire bathroom.
Even, I don't even think that was the worst part. The worst part for me was when I went to get into the bed.
No, it was
like that's the side of the bed was already like
yellow,
like contoured to a human body
and warm.
It was basically warm. God. Like I laid down in someone else's like human shape on that bed. I was like, oh, huh, boy, someone's been sleeping in my bed.
For me, it was the sheets that had like spots of yellow on them. And I woke up the next morning. I told Rob this, and he goes, I'm booking us a hotel anywhere but here. Yeah. We got to get out of here.
You know, I would consider you both to be intelligent men. Relatively. But then you go up with bullshit like that, and I'm like, what? There were so many red flags.
I have stayed
at some. You got to understand, though. It was 10 o'clock at night. Like, where are you getting a hotel at 10 o'clock
at night? It's Lancaster.
Yeah, no, that's probably
true. I understand. Yeah. It was just like,
I would say that's probably true. We were probably... That was probably one of the dumbest things we ever did. We should have walked in and walked out. I don't know why it took it so. Like, I don't know what we were thinking. When they said, oh, yeah, we can have Smoke and Joe let you into the room.
Smoke and Joe.
Did he already drink all that?
Yeah, there's some of that.
It was one of the dumber moves we ever made. But then, you know, thankfully, we did find this nice place down the road. A suite in Amateur.
No, we're staying in the same place.
We stayed there last year.
And the thing of it is, I stayed at that place before. So
here's,
I don't know
here's
why.
The best part of the entire story, though, folks. We go to check in at this place, at the new place, and we're at the front desk. And we're talking to the woman at the front desk. And we tell her where we just came from. And she goes, yeah, that's where I reside.
Yeah, she lives there.
I live there, and there's crackheads that live on the staircases.
Where did we stay that year we got snowed in?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to tell you.
I can't remember that.
3 foot of snow outside.
I have looked
back with Matt Shops.
So I have looked for that. Well, that was the year Matt came up from West Virginia. He had rented a car that was about the size of this table.
It was one of the little toaster boxes. What
it was like the small, like
the Nissan.
I don't know Juke. What it was.
No, it wasn't the Juke. It's.
It was tiny.
It's practically a toaster box.
Yeah, it was like the littlest thing I'd ever seen. And we had stayed at this place. I don't even remember
where
it was.
Was it like the Scion XB or whatever their other little tiny things?
Man, I have to look it up. But we had stayed at this. We stayed there where we got snowed in. Matt had this tiny itty-bitty car. That's a place I've been looking to get back into, but I don't remember where it was. And we were in there for 2 days playing poker with macaroni and cheese noodles.
Oh.
Me, him, and Mosier. That's when Matt was in West Virginia. It was a Matthews man at that
I'll
point.
Bet you four noodles and one cheese packet.
Essentially for almost like an entire
in.
Day.
All in,
almost yeah. all in.
You couldn't leave to go anywhere.
We tried to literally. We tried to leave to go to a Wawa. We made it out the driveway, up the ramp, and I'm like, Mosier, there's cars turned over everywhere. Turn around again.
Turn around on the ramp.
Yeah, we were on the ramp nice. To come on.
Yeah.
Another buddy.
There's only like one bar open.
Oh yeah, that was the day.
That we went to later.
I was getting texts from the Boardwells. Penny's like texting me pictures like, "Hey, we're all eating cheesesteaks and drinking beer. Where are you? Where is open? There's no place down here that's open."
A dog sled to pick
So now, up. So now, the reason I chose the hotel that became a crack house later on. Because
is that the place that
it was across the road from the only bar that stayed open during the blizzard. So I thought, during a blizzard, at least I'm across the street from the bar.
Is that the place that you would go for cheesesteaks every year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Until last year, when Rob and I found a true Italian place.
That makes a 12-pound cheesesteak.
12-pound cheesesteak.
12-pound.
Oh, cheese this thing was...
It was massive.
Yeah, but like he says, it doesn't matter about the meat and cheese. It's all about the bread.
Yeah, but you got to understand the atmosphere of this place, right? Like, there was little, like, cutouts in the wall, like an Italian villa.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere was okay. The only thing that I cared about was
it was
a 12-pound cheesesteak. Like, I could care less if they gave me a 12-pound cheesesteak and sent me out on the curb to eat it.
They played the part. I would have ate the entire goddamn thing. Don't get me wrong. They absolutely played the part. Yeah. Now, we have to remember that for this year. We can go back.
All right, we're eating there. I'm in.
Well,
we don't know where it is.
Well, so look, we got to figure that out.
We got to figure out where it is.
We're gonna be going down Thursday. When are you guys
coming? Probably when we get down to watch you guys shoot.
So Friday. So then Friday night.
Now, are you guys changing line times like you talked about?
No.
We're already booked Friday night. 4:30.
So then.
So it'll be another 10 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if we'll stay or not. Because we'll probably watch you guys shoot.
Probably Texas Roadhouse.
Unless I can talk to one of them to spend the night.
Well, that could be edited out. I'm trying to figure out exactly what.
So let's talk
Jay
about.
Jay just sent me something about the dog.
Continue.
So let's talk about college. So, Bridget, you finished your first semester.
Yeah.
So where are you going? What are you doing?
University of the Cumberland's pre-dental. All
right. So one semester in.
Yep.
Impression. What do you think? College.
It's an experience, to say the least.
Yeah.
What have you learned?
How do you feel about your major? Are you definitely in the right thing, or you want to switch it up?
Yes. Right. No, I love my major. I'm not going to lie. Like, school and stuff like that, it definitely makes you question why you're there, because it has nothing to do with what you actually want to do. So that was kind of hard. But once I came home and I, like, was back in a dental office, like, that spark was 100% rekindled, and I'm revved up. I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna lie, like, towards the end of the semester, like, it was dragging. I was like, this is dumb. Like, why am I here?
What are the chances we see you with a bow in hand at the RBD 2025?
I'm gonna try to shoot the RBD.
Yeah?
I'm gonna try to. It can't be that bad.
You gonna have a new Dominator Duo X in your hand, or what's the plan in the bow?
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of people want to know out there.
I don't know for myself.
So what are these experiences you've learned while at college?
What do you mean?
Jesus Christ. We need to talk
about that. Well, it depends on what we need.
Nothing's bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're the one setting the precedence here.
Matt, shut up.
How's that lip, Matt?
I can tell you this. I need to drink that damn s'mores.
Matt's getting kicked while he's down. We have no other option, buddy.
Matt gave me a dirty look.
Matt gave me a dirty look? Well, you're beating him about the face with the marker.
Okay.
Real thing.
I just want to know if we can be friends again.
Look, you spent all summer making fun of his shoes. Now you crack.
I complimented his outfit today, and it was genuine.
But that's hard to tell.
It's the first thing I said to him. I walked in, I said, Matt, I like your shoes.
It's the normal Matt.
I know, I like that. Versus the bright orange Bareboard sneakers. That's not normal, Matt. That's Matt going through a phase.
So why does it, you belittling Matt all the time, the one time that you're nice to him,
that's true. She calls me fat quite often. Yeah, so, I did not. So I never once called you fat.
Well, let's dive into why does Bridget feel the need to belittle people? Especially her closest friends.
No. When did I ever call you fat?
Third leg.
Well, if a picture says 1,000 words. The picture says 1,000 words.
Yeah, well.
Third leg.
That's also true.
You've written a couple
books. I've got the good angles of you while taking photos. You're eating right now.
Enjoys a good nutty bite.
If you're talking about how when you're fatter you shoot better, so I'm just trying to encourage.
I would say this overall. I feel like most of the folks shoot better when they're fatter.
Okay, exactly.
I've seen a lot of guys shed weight, then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, their scores go down. They bulk back up. There's got to be something to it.
Start your bulking phase.
Might be.
Exactly. So don't complain that I call you fat. I'm trying to encourage.
For the record, I've been in the bulk too long. It's really not all cracked up to me. I'm going to try the other end of the spectrum. Really not a great shooter as it is. I don't think that part can go downhill too much, so, you know.
Welcome to the Ram Archery Shenanigans.
Yeah, welcome to the Ram Archery
Shenanigans. On any given night with the crew.
All right, we're going to wrap this up.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that bar?
Farva? What is that?
Don't hurt his beard.
Don't peel that off.
Are you going to start bleeding?
That hurt. God damn it. That probably hurt like a bastard. That was coming out from the lower lip.
No, it's
yes.
Is it gray?
Yes, it's gray.
It's like...
They're all gray down there now.
I was going to say, it's like pulling something out of my face. Is that gray? Everything's gray.
All right, let's wrap this up.
That's it. Okay, before we get started today, I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize a few of our 2024 sponsors. One of them is Average Jack Archery, LLC, 21 North Front Street in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. They are Matthews, Elite, Bear Dealers, among a ton of accessories, targets, all kinds of stuff. Nate Sellers, YouTuber. He's got a ton of stuff going on his YouTube channel. A lot of informative videos he puts up at Average Jack Archery. You can find that on YouTube. And he's got a ton of really great videos on there. They got indoor, new indoor range. And then he just opened here about a month ago. And his leagues have started for January. And they may have started, but it's not too late to join. So if you're interested in joining or you're in the area and you need any type of things archery-related, give Nate a call down there, 814-761-0675. Another sponsor I'd like to tell you about is Weaver's Archery. They're down in Middleburg, PA, Route 522. They joined us last year also for the first time, and they've got a really great facility. I stopped down there last year. Right before they have a really big indoor tournament down there. They are 10-point dealers, Matthews, Hoyt, PSC, Elite. They've got all kinds of stuff down there. They do an indoor 3D league, an indoor 3D traditional league. They've got a techno league. They've got a three-spot league. They have got a ton of events going on down there. I would give them a call if you're down in the Middleburg area, 570-837-1418. Stay tuned after the pod, because we will have information on two more of our other sponsors. And this is something we're going to try to do before and after every podcast we put on. We're going to try to do a little bit of a highlight of our sponsors. Salute, sir.
Salute.
RBD podcast number 2. Everybody goes, how's everybody doing? We're going to talk a little bit about this past weekend's warm-up here held at RAM. We had a bunch of really good shooters come down and just kind of recap what we've seen and maybe talk a little bit of Lancaster, because the Classic's next weekend, and I don't know if I'm 100% ready.
I know I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I've been shooting pretty decent. I feel like I'm fatiguing way, like, just fast. You know what I mean? Like, I get through, like, I'm shooting, like, I can shoot probably, I can get 30 in, and then that next 30 is going to be a real problem. I don't know if it's because we shoot so much faster here than down there, but I'm hoping that the long pauses down there is going to help my body, because I'm telling you, I mean, the pace we're running up here for whatever reason is really kind of grinding on me, and I've been shooting all right, but it's like, man, I gotta be able to shoot like that for 4 hours, you know what I mean? And that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I feel like that's always our mentality going down there, right? We run such a, I'm gonna call it, fast pace here at RAM, where it's 2 minutes on the clock. And as you know, over the years, right down at Lancaster, it's really more like 4 or 5 minutes in between each end.
I don't remember. I mean, I know last year ran long, but I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention to how long it ran, because I feel like, yeah, most years we get started 4 and we're kind of scrambling for dinner, but I feel like it's still scrambling at like 7:30, right? Or something like that. Maybe like by the time we get over to the Longhorn or Roadhouse, it's like 8 o'clock. I don't think we got out of there last year. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to the time. I think you had said something, and Josh, maybe, like, we didn't get out of there like 8:30.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or something like that.
I feel like we didn't sit down to actually eat Texas Roadhouse until almost like 9:45, 10 p.m. last year. It seemed like an outrageous long time. But, I mean, we did have that medical incident like 2 ends into our
line. Mean, even so, I mean, that's probably, and now they're starting us a half an hour later this year. So, I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why that 12 o'clock line was such a sought-after line, which we tried to get into, but we procrastinated, and we're like 2 weeks behind schedule, so then we're on 4:30.
I'm still kicking myself that we didn't jump on that the second registration opened, but live and learn.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you know, we don't stay near the venue, so we're always out near the restaurants anyway, so it's not that major of a deal. I mean, the only thing that makes it an issue is if there's any of us that are shooting on Saturday, and normally somebody's shooting on Saturday. I mean, it for the longest time, I was shooting on Saturdays, and now Mosier's been shooting on Saturdays. So, I mean, normally someone has got to get up early to go back there and shoot. So that does kind of suck getting in so late, but yeah, it is what it is. So we'll get back to Lancaster here in a minute. So we had two rounds of warm-ups at the shop over the weekend here. I mean, and there have been a ton of shops firing up warm-ups all over the place. I mean, we, I don't think none of us had gone to, did Matt go to any? Matt might've went to, no, Matt went to whatever House Neck was putting on up there at his club once. But I don't think any of us have shot any other warm-ups, but I mean, there have been a pile of them going on. As you may suspect, I mean, there are good archers that go to all over them. Brady Myers was just at the Kinsey's, had one, the Kinsey's fling or whatever they call it, that Olivia Dean, who I've never met. Man, she's a really good shooter. She seems to be winning everything she goes to. I seen that she had won that Rockville Rumble.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a warm-up or if that's just its own standalone tournament.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
Have you ever shot that one?
I haven't. Nope. It's always one that I want to, and I feel like it creeps up on me around the holidays, and next thing I know, it's long gone.
Caleb Spencer went down to that. That's the one he went to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Caleb and them guys.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think Olivia won that. So, I mean, there have been a pile of warm-ups, so we're just kind of in another, you know, we're just another place hosting a warm-up. But, you know, what we try to do down here is Saturday we had all the heavy guns down here shooting. I kind of make it like an invitation-only type of deal, and I know there's pushback every year because I forget somebody or I don't put somebody on who thinks they should be there or whatever. But I mean, I try to have guys that have shot 640 or better at Lancaster come and shoot on that invitation list. I mean, the only one who's never done it is Matt. And I find it impossible to keep him out because he has won it, beating like Louis Price and guys like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep him off the list, even though he is the only one that ever makes that list that hasn't shot a 640 at Lancaster.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, right? I mean, he came here last year. He beat Louis on the final arrow, and then he comes back this year, and he finishes, you know, top three.
Yeah, right? No, so, yeah, I mean, and I know he was kicking his teeth.
Oh, absolutely, right? I mean,
he lost to Matt Burns, who ended up winning.
Yep.
Did he lose in a... He didn't lose in a shoot-off. He just lost straight up in those 12 arrows, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just had a few bleed out for 10s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, right? Getting into how that finished, Matt Burns was not missing.
No, and it's funny because, not that it's funny, right? So, you know, with Facebook now, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, sure.
And I've met Matt Burns a couple times. You know, he's a kid from Alfred State. He runs in the same circles a lot of the kids that shoot down here, Stungus and Houseneck and Adam and a couple of the guys that were down here last year. So, like, you know, we run in the same circle. So it's not that I didn't know who he was, but it's also, like I said, when that invitation list goes out, it's hard for me to keep track of every single person that's shooting 640s or better at Lancaster that I can invite, because I don't know everybody. Like, if I did, I'd have that Olivia Dean. She would have been certainly on the list because she's local and she is a hammer.
Yeah.
Right. So Matt Burns, who originally was on the Sunday open warm up, ended up, you know, he really wanted to get in on Saturday, and is just luck would have it, we had enough people drop out where he came up and shot. And he did shoot. I mean, I don't remember what ended what. I mean, he shot one of the elimination brackets clean. So I think that was the end he beat John Scott in, maybe.
I believe that was the game.
And I mean, Johnny was hammering too. So it's like, I think John might have dropped one or two, but Matt dropped none. And Matt ended up winning the entire thing. And I won't say that I didn't see it coming, but I think you had mentioned that the top three or top four that were shooting up that day were probably not the top four that we would have.
No, and it's kept. It's not a slam in any of those four individuals by any means, right? It's just when you look at that list of 16 people, you're really just pulling a name out of the hat of who's going to come away with the money at the end of the day. But you have some favorites. You have people that have done it over and over again, you know, like Glenn Boardwell, and you never can count out our boy Matt.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, you can never count at Matt. And you know, but this weekend there were guys that were just hammering. Yeah, I mean, like Nate Sellers.
Yeah, average Jack.
I mean, you know, me and Nate talked about this quite a bit the other day. I've known Nate for a handful of years now, right? And I met Nate, and a lot of people may only know Nate as like average Jack. He's got his YouTube channel. He's got a pretty popular outdoor YouTube channel, right? He does, you know, tips, hunting tips, and bow reviews, and product reviews, and all these type of things. And it's funny because him and I were talking about how I think most people correlate him with that type of stuff. Right? Now, when I first met him, I didn't know any of that stuff about him. I didn't know he had a YouTube channel. I didn't know anything else. All I know is he came up here with a hunting setup, shot a blue face tournament I was having, and shot like a 358X with like 40 something inside out with a hunting rig. And I thought, who is this dude? Right? Like, how have I never run across this dude before? This dude is a hammer. Mm-hmm. Right? So I know Nate can shoot.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he made the top 16 last year at Lancaster and bow hunter. Right. We know he can shoot.
I mean, and I know he was, you know, he was the old, kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just switching to open. I don't know how good I'll do. And then I'm watching him sit down here and deal on Saturday. And, you know, I never wanted to say anything to why anybody's shooting. But I'm like, holy smokes, this dude is tacking. Yeah, I mean let's see.
Just to put it in perspective, right, he shot a 328 on Saturday with a 9.
Yeah, and he was, he shot 14 of his first 15. And he shot 14 of his next 15. And that – one was a 9, one was a 10.
Yeah, so a 3.7.
Yeah, so, correct. I mean, he was
hammered.
Right, so it shouldn't be a surprise that he was in the top four of that shoot-up, but he ended up finishing in second, losing to Matt. But that was also like an epic battle of extra innings, right? It's like Matt had to shoot a 12, I think.
Well, it was 14 arrows to win it, right? So they were tied after 12. They went to score closest to center, and it went 11-11. And then we went to the 14th arrow. You got to give it to Matt Burns. Matt Burns was shooting first. He shot a 12, smoked it, and basically put all the pressure on
him. Yeah, and within that round of 12 arrows, there were other opportunities where they each had to hit 12s, and they hit 12s, right? So, I mean, those guys were dealing. So, yeah, I mean – so our top four for that day, the shoot up for the top four ended up being Matt was in four, Nick Quava was in three,
Matt Burns
was two, and Nate ended up qualifying one. And basically, so Matt finished in third, Nate finished in second, and Matt ended up winning the entire thing. And I was pretty pumped for Matt Burns to win that thing. I always like seeing another PSC shooter come up here able to take things home. I mean, you know, Nick Quava, there's a kid there that I feel like I got to stop sleeping on, right? Because all he does is come up here and take out whomever, right? You know what I mean? He gets in the bracket matches, and all of a sudden no one wants to shoot Nick Quava. I don't know if it's his, like, left-handed mojo he's got or what, but, you know, I don't want to sound like I was surprised, but just based on the way Glenn was shooting his qualifying score and how Nick qualified, I had thought that Glenn, you know, might have handed it, had an easy, not an easy match, but, you know, I think Glenn would have slipped by him. So I was pretty surprised. I don't know why, though, because I've seen Nick do it before. So Nick bumped Glennie out for his spot in the top four. This year was the highest scoring shoot we've ever had.
Yeah, especially from a qualifying standpoint. I mean, after the qualifications, we got into the quote-unquote bracket, right? I mean, they were some heavy hitters. Those matches were coming back 131, 132.
You know, the qualifying scores were, the majority of them were really high. Guys are shooting in the mid to high 20s. Mm-hmm. There were a couple that shot in the teens. But once they got into them head to heads,
that was bloodbath.
People were not missing.
No,
like, I mean, you were losing a match and shooting a 130,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why I have that. That's kind of what that shoot is about, Right. That, okay. that,
I mean, I even believe there was one matchup, and I don't remember who it was, that came back and they were 131, 131, and they had to go to closest to center. Right. I mean, that is the best that you could probably ask for, minus 132.
All right. We're back. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, those elimination matches were insane. And, you know, some of the shooters, well, we all have our favorites. You know, I was really pulling for Katie. I thought, you know, she seems like every year she gets, like, the hardest draw. Or it seemed like, and I'd have to go back and look, but I feel like she has lost or has shot against John in 3 years in a row or something like that. Like, it seems like Kay shoots real good, then gets matched up against John, and John snuffs her out, yeah. Right? You know what I mean? But that's why we do that shoot. I mean, that shoot is for those archers that came here on Saturday. Those are people who potentially are going to be trying to shoot on that final stage or at least make the cut. They're going to be part of that top 64 down there that are going to be shooting in them bracket matches on Saturdays. So I'm sure they don't care who they shoot against because they're probably coming down here to get a little taste of that pressure.
You know? Absolutely right. And, I mean, I think that definitely proved it on Saturday. I don't know if there's anyone that walked through your door that thought, I've got this in the bag, because there's 15 other people that, you know, you can't sleep on.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, even like last year, I would say, like, you know, we didn't have anybody qualified with a 30X last year. In fact, we only ever had one 30X shooter, and that was Louis last year. I mean, Louis is phenomenal. And I would think anybody that was taking bets last year, that's where my money was, oh, yeah. Right? I mean, and then you just never know. I mean, there's so many good shooters around that you're talking about one little slip, mm-hmm. and someone's going to be able to take you out. I mean, so you're right. I always try to think or try to pick who may end up at the top or may end up in the podium spots, and I'm never right. I'm never right anymore. So I have fun picking, but it drives me crazy because I never get any of them right. And then, you know, and then we had the Sunday Open shoot. You know, and the Sunday Open shoot, to me, is for those guys that are striving to get to the level that those Saturday shooter or those invitational type shooters are at now. Now, that's where I get a little bit of the pushback, right? Like, some of those guys are, you know, I don't care. I'm not one of these guys that are giving out handouts. You want to come here and you want to get on the invitation list for Sunday or the invitation list for next year, come here and do a night open shoot and step on everybody's throats.
Yeah.
Right? Come here, put up a big score, shoot a 628 qualifier, roll through brackets, shoot a ton of, you know, leave everybody in your dust, and then you're going to be on the invitation list. So, but, you know, like, I have said it all the time, and it's, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm not one of those dudes who thinks, if you're a guy that's shooting consistent scores like 310 splits, 305 splits, 307 splits, and that's kind of where you're at, I don't believe it necessarily does you any good to come here and shoot against some dude or someone who's going to shoot a 325 or 328. I don't think it does them any good. I don't think it does you any good, because you're just going to come in and get your head caved in. It's not going to teach you anything. And it doesn't do the other person any good, because they're kind of on cruise control because they know they're going to get you by 20 points. I mean, I think the really slim margins, like we had on Sunday for that open, those guys weren't shooting. I mean, they were shooting well. They were all within margins. They were all close. You know, so they were all close competition. I mean, it wasn't like you had a couple bigger scores put up. You know, Jake shot a 319. I think Caleb Spencer might have had a 313 or 314 or something like that. Maybe a 315. He might have been a little bit higher. You know, but for the most part, everybody was kind of coming in right around the same. Caleb shot a 315, right? So everybody else is coming in right around the same. I mean, and I think that is an added pressure, right? Like, when you know you have the same margin of error that everybody else has, right? You're not kind of shooting with reckless abandon, knowing that you may not be close. You know, there's a, right. There's a big difference between coming in to an event where you think you're absolutely not going to compete and coming in with no expectations, shooting a big score, mm-hmm. which I would argue some people can do.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, go somewhere, think, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to get anywhere near these guys. I might just come and rip it and grip it. Mm-hmm. And you put up a big number versus going somewhere where your expectations are, I can win, and then kind of see where the chips may fall.
There's definitely that sort of factor, right? Of, I mean, somebody who walks into an event who doesn't belong there and they know it, right? They're relaxed. Their shot breaks 10 times easier versus going to an event where they think, I should podium this. And now every single shot, right? There's tension. There's, you know, there's torque. There's all that kind of stuff that plays a big role from a X turn into a 10 or a 10 turn into a 9.
It is the expectations of things. I mean, I know for me, like when I could sit up here and practice and shoot high 20s and shoot, you know, high 650s, mid 650 type qualifying scores. But when I go down there to the Classic, man, I mean, because I expect out of myself to put those scores up, and maybe because I also think a little bit that other people expect me to put up them type of scores, sometimes I don't, because that's a heavy weight to carry sometimes. And some people can't carry that weight. Some people let that chew them up, you know, and it's tough. You know, me and Nate Sellers were talking. It's like, you're putting holes in paper.
Yeah.
I don't care how you put holes in paper. It doesn't mean you're a bad man or a bad person because your holes in the paper ain't as good as the next guy's holes in the paper. But it's because, like, you're greedy. You want them. You know, it's mm-hmm. like everybody wants it so much. And it's hard to, for me, it's like hard to not want it so bad.
I mean, I struggle with it too, right? It's not, for me, it's not being greedy. The want for me is what it's always been in my life. It's the competitive thing, right? It's you have it, I have it, and you can see it in certain individuals. I don't care what people think of me when it comes to putting holes in paper, but I know damn well I care about my competitive edge, right? Cool. Just as much as you do. And we talk about it every year for Lancaster, going back to that. You can sit here in your shop, relaxed on a Wednesday night, and shoot 650, 645, 655, right?
Yeah.
But whatever your average ends up, you're probably going to drop about 5 points every game, so 10 points cumulative down in Lancaster. So if you're a 650 shooter, you're on the fringe of a 640.
That's what I always, I mean,
that's what you always say, and I think that holds true.
I tell everybody that. I think when someone comes in here and asks what Lancaster's like or what they need to do to qualify down there, particularly, like, so in men's open, right? Or
yep.
I would say that whatever you're consistently practicing in, you can take 10 to 12 points off that, right? So if the cut down at Lancaster for men's open is 640 and you're not consistently shooting 645, 650, 651,
mm-hmm.
or making these big splits where you're shooting 325, 326, something like that.
Yeah.
I think you can cut 10 points off that score. So, and that's where you need to consistently practice, right? I'm not talking about like what your best game of the week is, right? So you might shoot your best game of the week and it might be a 650. But if you're consistently practicing at 640,
mm-hmm.
I think that could run into some problems because I think you might go down to Lancaster and shoot a 630. Now, that's not everybody.
No.
I mean, I've made every single one of them but two. So I could tell you over all the years of being down there, what I have seen is that's basically how I see a lot of the people I know, that's how their scores fluctuate. I know that's how my scores fluctuate because I'll shoot in the mid-50s, and if I go down there and have a good weekend, I might shoot a 644 or a 643 or a 645. I think the best I ever shot down there was 646. And, you know, that's still like middle of the pack down there, right? You know, because there's still some guys that are shooting 650s down there.
Oh, yeah, right. And I mean, it holds true for me. This will be my third year at Lancaster, right? I'm still early in the game, but consistently here at the shop, right? I'm a 640, low to mid 640 shooter. But if you look at my Lancaster scores, they're low to mid 630s, right? I'm off the cut, but it holds true to your 10 point
deduction. Matt, Matt is a guy who Matt hasn't been down to Lancaster in a bunch of years, but the first few years Matt and I went down there, Matt would practice and compete down there at his practice level. So when we had first started going down there, the cut wasn't quite as salty as it is now.
Sure.
I mean, so, you know, he was missing the cut by a few points, but he would still practice in like 635, 633, 634. And he would go down there and he would shoot a 635, right? And he'd miss the cut by, you know, I think the very first year him and I went down together, he might have missed a cut by 1 or 2 points.
Right.
So he's always been able to, for the most part, like I think Steve Mosier, he's another guy. He seems to compete down there at the level he practices in. I think he would argue that because I think when he gets down there, he feels like he has dropped off the edge of a cliff. But
yeah.
I think his scores would tell a different tale.
I would say, yeah, like for Steve's a very prime example, right? Like I would say he doesn't hold true to the 10-point deduction at all. Like he would argue that, like you said, but he's probably like 2 or 3 points less than what he practices here. I mean, Steve goes down there and consistently shoots good in that senior open.
Yeah.
Year after year, right? I mean, all jokes aside, we go down to Lancaster every year, and it's like, well, we got to stick around until Saturday because Steve's going to be in it.
Steve's been in it the last 3 years, probably?
Three or four,
something like that. So, I mean, when he turned 50, he was able to compete in that with them senior guys, right? Mm-hmm. And him and I are down here practicing every morning. Not every morning, every other morning until the weather now is turned to zero. You know, and he's been shooting above the cut line, not just barely above the cut line, but he, you know, he's been shooting where he might split a 640, six high 630s, maybe, yeah. You know, so he's been practicing pretty high. And as if he drops off down there from that score, he's probably still within the cut.
I was going to say, last year, what was the cut for senior open? It was like 618, 620?
Yeah, I thought it was around 620. So, I mean, that's a score he should easily be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, for as much as he shoots, right? Yeah. I mean, I'd be interested to see. What I'm always interested to see after the warm-ups here and following the local archers that I do follow on Facebook and whatnot, I'm always interested to see what their scores translate down there to at Lancaster. I mean, like, I know Glenn Boardwell. He always shoots well down there.
Always.
I honestly feel like he shoots better down there than I see him shoot in a number of other places, right? I mean, he shot that's what I say. He shot really good here.
Yeah.
Glenn had a really good qualifier round. He just got nipped out by Nick in the brackets. And like we talked about earlier, anybody can lose to anybody in that bracket.
Yeah, right. I mean, so, those are the best 16 guys you're going to face in the area, yeah. Right? And all it comes down to, like you said, is your best 12 arrows and one person has a slight bobble and it's an off the X and you're out.
Yeah, and right? I think, you know, like Glenn always shoots well down there. I think Katie said her cut down there for the women's pros around 640. Man, those girls are laying it down if that's the cut. I guess I never paid that much attention to what the cut was in women's pro, but if it's the 640 to make that top 16, that's pretty salty. So I know, but
Katie can do it, right?
Oh, well, she's been practicing at that clip.
Oh, easily.
She's shooting them itty bitty skinny 23s. I know she would have. She probably would have had 4 or 5 more points. I think she shot a clean 3. I think she was a 323.
Yeah.
Clean. And I think she probably cheated herself out of 4 points.
Yeah,
with those 23s versus 27s. But it's hard to say because I know how forgiving those 23 arrows probably fly for her at that draw line. I'll tell you, the funniest picture of the day was watching her and John square up in the brackets because John is so giant and Katie is so tiny. So looking at those two standing next to each other in their Hoyt jerseys,
matching
Hoyt jerseys next to each other, it looked a little funny, but
I do appreciate that. And I always feel bad when it comes to this Lancaster warm up because, you know, the last couple of years, I feel like Katie just keeps drawing the short straw. You know, last year she shot a 315 with a 0 because of a release malfunction, right? I mean, she
gets bitten down here sometimes.
Just some of the warm-up stuff.
Yeah, it's like a weird deal for her down here. That's why I think, like, I don't ever root for one particular person when they come through the door, but I think if you had to hold me down and say, you need to pick one person you want to win, I feel like I pick Katie every single time because I'd just like her to see take it to all the boys.
We all have a fan favorite,
take
right?
it to all the boys. We're going to be heading out of here on Thursday morning. We're heading to the showroom. We're going to be down there. We shoot it Friday at 4:30, along with, I think, just everybody from the shop here is going to be down there shooting at that time.
Yep.
And we'll be down there watching everybody else shoot. I mean, a lot of people are mixed. I think a lot of the rest of the local guys that we know, maybe they're shooting 12:30, you know.
Yeah, it's a mix from what I heard. I've talked to everyone this weekend. It sounds like it was a mix between the 12:30 line and the 8 o'clock line. There's Friday.
I was looking at the registration today just to see, just to kind of get an idea of who might be shooting at 4:30 on Friday. And I only made it down through a couple classes. And I know that line's probably filled, but I couldn't find that many. I don't know when they're going to put out the bail assignments, but I'm hoping soon. To be able to see that soon. So, I mean, that's what we're going to be doing here at the end of the month. And then after Lancaster, we're going to definitely do a recap of Lancaster when we get back. And then we're going to be heading into a few other indoor tournaments, I guess. I mean, we got leagues rolling. A lot of these other shops have got leagues going. But I'd like to try to make it down to Weavers. Weavers has got their... Weavers has got a big tournament the end of February, the beginning of March. I think it's like right around that final weekend of February. I think February 27th, and it may roll into March. I think it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So probably Thursday is February 27th, Friday is the 28th, Saturday is the 1st. I think the first Saturday is when they're starting there, is when they do all their shoot-ups and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think Thursday, Friday is the quote-unquote qualifications, and then Saturday, Sunday is when the shoot-ups begin.
Yeah, and I plan on – well, I mean, that ought to be a fun shoot because we ought to be able to get down there and chat with some of the other fellas. Like, I'm sure Jasper's shooting that. Nate's going to go shoot it again. I'd like to go down. I'm definitely going to go down and shoot it on Friday. Now,
I was going to say, you and I are going down Friday to shoot it.
The rub on that tournament is I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it back out on Saturday for the qualifiers, but Weavers is a sponsor of the RBD, and I'd like to go down there and shoot their event. So whether or not I can make it back on Saturday or not, meh, whatever. But I'd like to go down there and knock around with the guys for a little bit. So that's one of the upcoming indoor things we're going to be doing. I don't know. No one's really doing indoor nationals.
No.
That's kind of in February. We might be able to get somebody on that's doing indoor nationals. Eli.
Eli, maybe, yeah.
Eli might be doing it.
We can talk about that. I mean, we're still waiting to hear if Ike's going to do his 3D shoot.
Yeah, Ike Laredo at Laredo's Archery. That is one that normally happens in February, sometimes happens in March. That's another indoor 3D tournament that we're looking forward to going to do. And that's basically where our next 2 months are going to be. It's going to be the Classic, then maybe a few things in February, you know, finishing up. Well, not finishing up the leagues. We'll be mid-league.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the next time we get on, we can talk about – we'll talk about the warm-up or talk about the Classic, talk about whatever we got coming on in February. I'm sure there'll be some league matchups here we can talk about.
We could also probably talk to I think – Eli going to Vegas? There's some people that we know that are going to Vegas that we probably could bring
in. I'll tell you, that'd be an interesting one. We can get Eli on here, and we can talk a little Vegas with Eli. You know, maybe we can get the Boardwells back on here. That'd be fun. I don't know.
I think that's probably the next major tournament after the Classic, right, where we want to start talking to some
people. You know, it's funny because they had moved to Vegas this year, and I was talking to Glenn and Katie about it, and I guess I had never thought about, like, the conflict of the in the pro schedule, right? Because Foley is in February.
Yep.
Now Vegas is in March. And I think it just adds like a weird hiccup to people's bow setups and how they're kind of shooting. Because for years, you know, Vegas was piggyback with Lancaster.
Right.
So you were shooting Lancaster, going right to Vegas. Then most guys would shut it down, get their 3D bows out, or do whatever they got to do, get ready for Foley. hit Foley, and then still have enough time to come back and get ready for internationals, which normally happens sometime in the middle of March.
Yep.
I'm sure there has been some kind of information put out or some kind of deal of why they moved Vegas into March like they did. You know, and I'm sure it's not really that big of a deal, but it does add a little bit of something extra that the pros got to think about a little bit, you know, being sandwiched in a 3D tournament in between Lancaster, Indoor Nationals, and then Vegas. In the middle of that, you got Foley. That probably is a little bit of a weird dynamic, I would think.
I would think so, right? I mean, there's for most of us that are shooting indoor and outdoor, right, we're running two different bows, but there is still that setup. There's just a change of mentality, right? I mean, just sitting there and shooting 60 arrows over and over and over versus walking a 30-target course is a different mentality. Now, does it affect the pros? Probably not, but it's probably a little different this year, and I'm sure Glenn and Katie are going to have to adjust.
I think it's probably definitely more just of a mental thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, like, I know how razor sharp your attention has to be when you go to these events. Like, you got, if you're not, like, razor focused on every arrow, it becomes hard. So I could, you know, I don't know. I'm just becoming kind of a bit of a mashed potato brain in my old age. I don't know if that's something I would have the ability to focus on like that. But, I mean, who knows? It might not, I mean, it just seems like it. Maybe because they changed the venue is why they moved the dates, but it'll be something they have to deal with. So it'll be interesting to see how everybody kind of transitions to the new pro schedule. But that's something we'll be able to talk about the next time, too. So, yeah, well, I think that might be all we got for you today, folks. We will get back at it. I think we should do another one right when we get back from Lancaster.
Yeah, I would like to wrap one up right
unless some kind of crazy stuff happens here in league in the next like week or two, but I think we just do one right when we get back from Lancaster and we kind of let everybody know how we shot, what some of the rest of the guys are shot. Maybe we can get somebody on here, get some of the locals on here, and they can kind of yap a little bit about how they were doing. But yeah, all right, well, salute. Till the next one.
Cheers.